Hi, it's your host Sabrine Shaw, and this is the Show Me Your Way podcast, where people from all walks of life show us their way through their own journeys, whether it be in entrepreneurship, philanthropy, artistry, and more. Today's guest is Shami Kapoor, the founder and director of Brain Abilities, a brain training center with locations in the UAE and the UK. So welcome, Shami. I'm really happy to have you on today, and I'm very excited for you to show us your way. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How about you?
I'm good. Happy to see you. I mean, long time since we've caught up, and it's just great to see you and great to see you doing well.
Absolutely glad to see you doing well too. Yeah.
So let's get really stuck into your company, Brain Abilities. The concept of brain training has always been very fascinating to me, you know, and I think that it's something that's quite neglected in traditional schooling. So tell me how you got to starting Brain Abilities and a bit about your background.
Okay, so basically, I grew up as a child with autism. So what that means is I basically spent a lot of my life struggling, whether it was at school, whether it was socially, anything to do with things that normal people take for granted. So then what happened is when I was 19 years old, one of my clinical psychologists recommended me to a brain center in Dubai. And then, you know, I went there, and then after, let's say, 6 months of my life, I went from someone who honestly could not read very well to then, you know, reading, being able to read, and then reading as a hobby. I went from someone who couldn't really remember one thing if it was said to me, but then after that 6 months, you could give me 20 things if you wanted to, and then, you know, I could remember them forwards, backwards, as a list, however you like. So then I was at uni at the time, so I went from someone who went from a W or an F student to basically getting A's, you know. And then obviously, you know, I could always speak, like, let's say, but never in full sentences. So then, you know, just brain training basically helped me in every area of my life. So then I went back to uni, and then I thought, you know what? I want to learn what the hell happened to me, sort of thing. So then my parents asked that center for an internship. I eventually went there. I just loved this internship, you know, being able to help people from all different backgrounds. And let's just say I really fell in love with the internship. And then I just thought, you know, I want to do this for the rest of my life, sort of thing. So then I went home and I asked my dad, if I open my own brain center, will you support me? And then him, obviously, you know, being a business professor, was like, so son, what's your motivation? And I was like, dad, you know, like, I've been through my whole life, you know, I've been ostracized my whole life. I couldn't really participate, whether it was in the classroom or at home. And I know how much I struggled, sort of thing. And I don't want to see anyone else struggle like I did. And then, so yeah, it wasn't really a business plan, but he was sold. And then, yeah, thankfully, with the help of him, family, also a couple of psychologists and neuroscientists, you know, we launched Brain Abilities. And then, yeah, it's just like, we've been enjoying every moment ever since, you know. It's an honor, you know, to help people in every area of their life by targeting the number one tool they use on a daily basis, which is their brain, basically.
Exactly. So, and yeah, such a neglected aspect, I feel.
Yeah. So long story short, that's how I got into it. It's a passion/life mission.
Yeah, I love that. And it's so nice that you were so inspired by an internship as well, because those are the best places to learn and the best places to see firsthand what kind of direction you want to take your career in. And that's great that you could learn so much and be so inspired by how brain training helped you, and to then take that knowledge and help other people. It's just such a good learning experience as well. So I just was thinking as well, like, could you talk a little bit, for those who may not be aware, about how autism, ADHD, and depression affected your learning?
Okay, so how it affected my learning was basically, I grew up in school, And my experience was basically sitting in a class, not knowing anything that was happening. So, and because my senses were like on haywire, that basically meant my brain could not filter things and focus. So what that meant was I'd be sitting in a classroom, although the teacher would be speaking, I would hear the AC at the same volume. I would hear basically everything at the same volume, going to sort of overload. Also, my learning experience was basically, you know, me being the quiet one in a corner, sort of rocking in class. And then if an assignment came to me, I would just fail it. I went through most of my exams was basically, let's say if it was comprehension, it would be me, like, because I couldn't really read, but what I would do is I'll try and do match with the words. Like, I would go in the question, just find the similar word, go to the text, just try and find the similar word, just write the next three words. So I really, like, let's just say, because I didn't have the cognitive tools to cope, I just kind of, you know, let's just say it was just a lot more harder, to learn. So, and then, you know, like, obviously when we get evaluated by my specialist, you know, basically I was going through school with age equivalency of a 7-year-old's learning ability, like the whole way through, basically. It varied from age 6 till about age 12. And then, yeah, right up until I went to the brain center. And I went to the brain center at age 19 when I was at university. And then it was really at university where it all changed, you know. But I went from, you know, just being able to, like, when a teacher speaks and it actually goes in, like, it was all new for me. It was kind of like I got born at age 19.
That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, the fact that brain training had that much of an impact on your life, I mean, I can see why you would want to start your own company as well. But, you know, another thing is like, what is cognitive ability? Because I don't think unless you study psychology or, you know, something like that, you might not necessarily know what that is. So I wonder if you could explain it.
Yeah, so it's cognitive ability is basically everything your brain does, or in other words, all of the areas which form up human intelligence, but also the tools of which you use for learning. So let's just say, like if you came to, let's say, a brain center, we would measure your cognitive ability and then we would see your strengths and your weaknesses. When we see your weaknesses, then we basically see what you would struggle with on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. For example, if someone has great focus but weak short-term memory, it will correlate into their life. It will show you what they avoid, sort of thing. Or if someone has really
good...
This
sounds like me.
Yeah. As it'll be interesting, yeah, just to get an assessment, just because then at least you know the why behind the why, behind why you are wired the way you are, sort of thing. Also, similar story, like let's just say if someone has weak auditory but strong visual, they might struggle to listen to people, but they might find it easier to visualize information, stuff like that. So just think of cognitive ability as the tools you use for life, basically. It's the tools your brain uses for life. And the stronger the tools are, the easier life is, the easier performing is in general, when it comes to anything.
I love that. I love the way you put it. Yeah, the stronger the tools are, the easier your life is, because it's true. I mean, you're talking about a lot of things that I think a lot of people struggle with but don't necessarily talk about as much because they're not so sure how to fix it. And things like bad memory, like bad short-term memory, for example. I feel like maybe it could also be a generational thing, but I feel like a lot of people in our generation do have bad short-term memory. I mean, I can speak for myself definitely, that I started to realize that someone could tell me something, but I just seem to forget it so quickly. Or, you know, I've done 2 degrees now, but sometimes I can't for the life of me remember what I learned in that one course in my master's, even though the topic really interested me. Like, I can't seem to hold on to like specific nuggets of knowledge, if that makes sense. So I find this really interesting because I've been trying to sort of train my brain and stuff. So on that note, I want to talk about apps. So brain training apps, are those a bit of a con? Are those a bit not real? Like what, from someone like you, who's, you know, so much about this, what do you think about all of the brain training apps that are out there? Would you trust them? Would you recommend them to people?
I wouldn't call them a con. Like, I respect all those companies because, let's face it, I would rather someone be, you know, engaging and training their cognitive ability, even if it's just on an app. Mm-hmm. I'd rather they do that than do all of the other mindless things which our sort of generation gets up to. Like, it's a little bit better. But how we're different in our brain centers is that we focus a lot more on results. Mm-hmm. So, we're so focused on results and our client outcomes to the point that we actually guarantee them. So that we only ever offer a program to someone if we know that we can enhance them. The results, number one. Number two is we focus really on, you know, confidence and attitude. Like, a good example would be, you know, if you're on an app and it gets challenging, you just put it back in your pocket. But whereas if you're with a brain trainer, you know, you're with someone who's really pushing you towards the next benchmark and then repeating that process over a few weeks until basically your ability will be so far enhanced, you pretty much would not recognize the old you, basically. Yes, a result. And also, I would happily engage with them, but let's just say if someone wants to fix, let's say, a speech disorder, it's kind of impossible to do it on an app.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also areas which people struggle with, such as impulsivity, it's hard to fix on an app unless you're, you know, in our environment sort of thing where we're controlling it.
That's so true. Yeah. Because I guess it would, like, you could just click out of the apps so quickly and go onto Instagram or any of the other things that are so distracting. It's true. Yeah. So I guess, like, you could say that they are useful for someone who's, like, looking to start thinking about their cognitive ability and where their strengths and weaknesses lie. I guess it's a good place to start thinking about that.
Yeah, but if you're results hungry and you really need the result, you need, and you don't trust yourself to do it, that's where I think we come in.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. And at the end of the day, it's like you said, it's, if you're looking for long-term solutions, you're not just going to download an app. I guess it's the same with anything else. You want to invest proper time and proper resources into improving your life.
Yeah, and also our average results are basically a 3.6 year gain in 3 months for kids and a 21 point increase in IQ for adults on average. But overall, I would say an average of about 20 percentile overall before and after in all of the areas of your intelligence in about, let's say, a 12 to 14 week period, which is kind of, unmatched worldwide.
Those are results. I mean, if you want results, then, you know, like I said, you got to invest time and resources. And on the topic of IQ, actually, what do you think about our current schooling systems? Do you think that these metrics are actually good at assessing people's intelligence?
Like, the IQ, like, fine, but when it comes to metrics, I would say just focus on what's important, you know? Like, for example, someone like me, even 6 years ago, I would score in the top 5% in the world for IQ. Mm-hmm. But at that time, it would take me 2 hours to do that test. It takes a normal person half an hour. So it's everything. We measure everything that makes up intelligence, everything that makes up what you do, including your processing speed, including, you know, these gaps in your impulsivity or the gaps in your memory sort of thing. So IQ is mainly just about, you know, your people's ability to visualize and their logic and reasoning skills, whereas we focus really on every area that makes up intelligence.
Okay, so. Yeah. I have a really interesting question. When you speak to someone for a while, can you start to see certain things like strengths or weaknesses in cognitive ability?
I would say, like, socially, yeah. Like, if I spent more than half an hour with them, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Because it's all I do, though. So, like, it's, yeah, as in,
yeah, but so, that's why I was wondering, because it just occurred to me. I was like, oh, like, I wonder if as he's talking to me, he can see, like, oh, does she pay attention correctly, or does she it's just interesting to me. Like, can you start to really visualize the strengths and weaknesses of somebody's cognitive ability?
As in, I don't judge, but if I wanted to, I could, sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't mean judge. I just mean, like, if you had to, like, objectively say, you know, if you had to make an assessment, let's say, not a judgment, like an assessment.
Yeah. And also, yeah, as in, it's a great field to be in, like in general, like the field of neuroscience or psychology, because like you really know, like sort of, you know your way around, human beings in general,
Yeah,
because
exactly.
like whether or not a business partner, like how it would be long term, a relationship, how it will pan out, sort of thing.
Yeah, and
So.
that must be that's such a critical life skill. Like it's like having your gut feeling, but amplified by neuroscience. Like that's amazing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure,
So,
for sure. So then when you went on to go and get brain training, as you said, before you went on to start your own company, what were the sort of brain training exercises that were the most effective that you underwent?
yeah, I think in general, it's the whole concept of a brain center is that we're giving you targeted exercises which target different areas, which make up what you do. So obviously, like the only thing that I went to the brain center with, and I was like pretty much on par with my age, was with the auditory, was with the auditory stuff, because it just made sense. I can hear things like nearly anywhere, everywhere. I can hear like super clearly, but everything else was lagging. So obviously, when you enhance all those other areas, like it was just super effective. Like, and also, obviously, like they set the environment in the brain center. But what helped a lot was that, I had like a good 18 years of pain on me. So I was just extra hungry for the results. So it made the process a lot easier, like for the lovely, like I had a few wonderful brain trainers in my life, and yeah, it just made it a lot more smoother, like because I had a lot of motivation to sort of get over it, because I had a lot of past pain which I just wanted to get out of the way. And to be honest with you, when they said they could improve me, I honestly did not believe them. But then I just went because, oh no, my mom talked me into it, sort of thing. But I honestly thought that, I was clever, but it was just, there's nothing wrong with me. And like, but I didn't really know that, oh my God, like, I was just so like not self-aware. But it's just weird, like I'm looking at paper, but I could never read words. It just never registered with me, because you don't really notice these things. Sort of thing. Yeah.
So in terms of like the schooling system, you grew up and went to school in Dubai. How did you find the schooling experience as someone who had autism, for example? Did you feel like you were nurtured in a school setting, or did you feel sort of more ostracized?
As in, like, yeah, there were like a lot of times where, like I was bullied, but then like I always had like all these mechanisms, like yeah, like the bullying. But in terms of the professional side of it is that, yeah, like the teachers, like, yeah, they do their best, sort of thing. I had many like wonderful teachers in my life. And what really sort of, I would say, stood out growing up in Dubai with ASD was that when I was younger, I didn't get by, well, but I got by like kind of okay, because let's just say English was my first language, whereas everyone else, like English was their second or third language. So I kind of kept up with them until about year two. But then that's after about year two, that's when it just like became like really sort of, painful. I just couldn't keep up anymore, sort of thing. And obviously, teachers, they couldn't really give me special attention, because like I was never disruptive, I never like screamed or anything. I'll just be in a corner rocking. So then when my parents used to go for parents' evening, they would just be like, oh, he's a lovely boy, he just sits there quiet, he's a gem. Like, because they're dealing with fairly screaming kids.
Yeah, of course. So if you're the quiet one, then they're not too worried.
Sort of thing. And then as in, yeah, and then like, because like it was year one, year two, year three, year four. So like it was just basic sort of, I couldn't really, so like it was just sort of, yeah, doing those sort of assignments. But like honestly, I went through most of my school like not submitting loads of things. I would always plan being sick on a day when a homework was due, just could not do it. Yeah, sort of thing. But overall, yeah, like in terms of mainstream education, yeah, Dubai does it the best, I would say.
And would you say, like, do you think now is the time? I mean, we're in 2020. I feel like now should be the time that we should implement brain training into our school curriculums. I mean, you see a lot of other schools. I mean, maybe not in Dubai. I don't think they're there yet, but in the UK, I know that there are a lot of schools that implement meditation in as part of the curriculum. And I think that's incredible, you know? There are a lot of schools that implement financial literacy, not just like maths and whatever pi and whatever, like things
As
that
in,
you can not everyone is going to be using for the rest of their lives, but financial literacy, like knowing what taxes are and like how they
For
work and all
sure.
these other things. Like, don't you think it's time that we start to implement brain training into our school curriculums?
As in, yeah, but there's kind of two different purposes because brain, like you go to a brain center like us to enhance your learning ability, you go to a school to learn. So it's just two different things. So, but there again, what's being taught should be life related. Like, I don't think, as in, yeah, like let's be honest, like how much of what you learn at school do you use, sort of thing. It's just
Honestly,
it should be, yeah. And like it's a sad, it's a bold move as well on my part because as a brain center we have loads of relationships with schools, but like honestly, like I would love to see people leaving school ready for the world, sort of thing.
Exactly. And you know, in that case, could you give us like an idea of what a brain exercise would consist of or look like, you know?
As in, yeah, I don't really have like my if my like we would have to do loads of sound testing and stuff. Like that's why our first sessions online are always like, like just a tester, like because we'd have to do a lot of sound testing. But I'll just give you a quick one if you want. Like, so I'll just show you. Like, okay, obviously we deal with everything, but I'll show you some like something which measures some, not measures, but it would train you on your visual processing and your attention skills. Yeah, so like. All right, let's just go along the first line and call out the colors as fast as you can. Yeah, go for it.
Blue, yellow, red, green, red, yellow, blue, red, green, blue, red.
Awesome. Yeah, you can stop there for a second. Now call out the direction, please. Left,
Oh
right.
God.
Right, up,
Right.
right.
Okay, right, up, right, down, up, right, left, down, down, up.
Awesome. So then what we will do is like obviously we'll make you go through the whole thing and we'll time you, sort of thing. And then someone with weak focus, they would want to give up around line two or line three. That's where you want your brain trainer to like push you to improve your attention span. But like, can I just I'll show you what we do. Like when you get used to that, your attention will get stronger. But then how we throw your visual processing into it is, can you now rotate them one turn clockwise? So if I'm rotating that one turn clockwise, 90
It's going to be
degrees,
down.
down, right, down, left, right. Go for it. Do the first line for me. Go for it.
All right, down, right, down, left, right,
Awesome.
down,
Keep it up.
up, left, right.
Awesome. Keep it up. Go for it. No, like go for it. Because I want you to try and go faster now. Go. Second line.
Down.
So that's up.
Oh, okay. Up, up, right, up, down, right, left, down, up, right.
Awesome. And then now, as your brain trainer, what I will do is on the third line, we're going to do it. I'm going to try and distract you, but promise me you will focus and try and get it done. Yeah? Look, don't worry. This is part of the brain training. It's exciting as well, and it's fun, and it's playful.
I mean, I'm
All right.
excited.
All right. Go.
Right,
Go, go, go.
down. No,
Hurry
sorry,
up.
up. Down. Right, down.
Left.
Right,
Good.
down.
That's left,
Sorry,
yeah?
no, left, sorry. Down, up.
You're not good enough.
Down, left, left.
Awesome. So like, you know what I mean? Like, so all the time, like we're jumping up the gradient a bit, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just, so as a result, you know, your neural connections get stronger. Mm-hmm. You at the end of a program, you would find it a lot easier to focus. That isn't actually what we do, but it's just like a little demonstration.
Yeah, no, but like, no, but that's interesting because the second you said, tell me the direction, I am like, I'm left-handed and I'm notorious for not knowing my lefts and rights for some reason. My sense of direction is very, very off. Mm-hmm. I don't have my driving license. This is one of the reasons for that. Yeah, for sure. So for it's just interesting. It's interesting that the second you said it, there was like a panic inside of me, a natural reaction that was like, I'm going to struggle with this.
But now, let's just say if you did that and you got over it, how good would you feel sort of?
Oh thing? My God. I mean, I felt good just getting through it. I mean, exactly.
Yeah, definitely. So it's all those things related. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And like, and you know, things like that, you know, like it's just amazing. You know, when you see like lifelong struggles, things that people have always identified as not being good with math, not being good with language, and you see them and they basically break that part of their identity within like literally sometimes I've seen it go within like 3 hours of being with me sort of thing. And it's
that's amazing. Sort of that is so exciting. I'm glad we got to do that. No, I'm really glad we got to do that because like that's really cool. And like now there's a great representation of like an example of, even though as you said, it's not like the only thing or it's like one of the very baseline things that you do. It's just like very interesting.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, if someone has a weakness, if someone has a learning disability, we just say, okay, it's a weakness. We're going to drill it until it's no longer a weakness.
Mm-hmm,
and then all of a sudden, if you're in a car and your driving instructor says, take a right at the next roundabout, you're not going to be like, you're not going to freeze. It just happens smoothly, naturally.
Yeah.
Because you've got rid of the cognitive weakness sort of thing. Completely.
And like, what would you say is the most common issue that people come to you with? Like, for example, I told you, I think I struggle with short-term memory loss and clearly a lack of spatial awareness, like directions and stuff. So what's the most common one that you've noticed when people come to your brain center?
Mainly like their ability to process quickly. Also, memory struggles a lot more now. But the thing is, they don't really come to me and say, I need to improve my visual processing. They would come to me with a complaint similar like the one you just said, like, oh my God, I can't get into a university, or I'm in the army, I just can't pass their cognitive test, or I can't pass any psychometric testing or whatever, which I need to get into the next phase of my life. That's why they come to us. They don't come to us like knowing what their weaknesses are, but then they find it out after the assessment phase.
Okay, yeah.
And then they find out what their weakness is. But what people normally know their weakness to be is usually what they avoid or what they say they struggle with in life.
Isn't that so interesting that people are always avoiding that one thing they know is not their strength?
And it's true. Like, let's just say, like, okay, if your little finger is your weakest finger, but we're like, okay, go around your life now, but you're only allowed to use that finger. It's like, it'll be a struggle. You'll give up eventually. And you can see why it happens.
Yeah, exactly. And would you say, like, these brain exercises work for everyone?
Yeah. As long as you can follow your trainer, not very much guaranteed results at the end of your program, for sure. The only times we pass people away is when, let's just say, they don't have, that's why we keep it at about age 7 and above. Even if you're, let's just say, 15 years old, but you have the ability of a 1-year-old, it'll be hard to get you. It would be hard to get the same improvements. But then what we've had a lot in the past of is, you know, we've told in the consultation, we have mentioned, you know, we can't promise you improvements for your particular case, yet they still say, you know, we've heard stories, we still want to enroll my son, or I still want to enroll my spouse, or whatever. Managed to deliver improvements. Like, the worst case scenario is you're getting improvements basically.
And like, how long would you say it would take to start seeing results in their everyday life?
People start reporting changes from anything 8 sessions into their program. The most dramatic improvements come from after, let's say, week 5 to week 9 of being with us. Mm-hmm. Average program length is about 14 weeks. Mm-hmm. And the reason they're that long is to, you know, permanently change the neural pathways so that, mm-hmm. you know, the results are permanent, sort of thing. Because, you know, people do get improvements, like let's just say even after 2 weeks. But the thing is, if they went back to their daily life after just being with us for 2 weeks, then they will go back to normal. So it's about getting the improvements and keeping it that way. Mm-hmm. So that, you want to permanently rewire neural pathways, basically.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, anything that you struggled with before is no longer a struggle.
Yeah.
Or we get a lot of people who just come to thrive, you know? Just for self-development in general.
Yeah. That was about to be one of my next questions. Like, how often is it that someone just wants to really work on their self-development journey and they assess themselves and say, okay, well, I have XYZ problem and I want to come and fix it? Because I feel like more and more today, people are a lot more interested in self-development. So have you noticed that trend with people coming to your centers?
Yeah, as in, we've had a lot of, very successful entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
I also, I'll give you a common example. Like, we once had someone who has an oil business
mm-hmm.
came to us. Basically, let's just say, like, you know, he found it very hard to listen. Mm-hmm. But then obviously, and he found it very hard to remember. So like, there he is, super successful, has a company with over 150 employees.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, he never knew his niece's nephew's names. Like, he could never remember a name, sort of thing. He could never really hear properly. And then obviously he came in for the assessment. We noticed, okay, memory weakness, auditory weakness. It was interlinked. And then, so it's like helping him with those concerns. And then, the only thing is, you know, with people who are like highly successful in their career, it's hard to sort of break their ego, sort of thing.
Yes. But, Cause I was just thinking about that. Like, someone who's so senior and well-established and successful, it can be hard to sort of tell them, oh, hey, like, you have this cognitive like weakness that we should work on. Have you ever had like bad reactions from people that are just like, no, I have amazing cognitive abilities and I refuse to believe that I don't? Like, have you ever had an ego so intense?
No, because if it's the person themselves, I can explain it to them.
Okay.
And, you know, and then it all makes sense, you know, like the mm-hmm. things of their life all make sense, you know, like, I thrive on a race car driving, but I can't read to save my mm-hmm. life. And mm-hmm. it's all explained in our testing. Whereas we have had like a couple of scenarios when it's based on the kids, for example.
Mm.
Like, we've had like a parent who's come to us, and just because we're like, the school counselor sent the child to us, or the school counselor recommended that the parents bring their kid to us.
Mm.
And then when we analyze them, it's like, okay, we know that they're struggling in school because, you know, their short-term memory is age 5 years old, whereas they're 13 years old. And that's probably why they're struggling at school. We tell a parent that, and then the first thing that they said to us was, are you calling my son disabled, sort of thing, you know, like, but it's like, we don't diagnose, we just say there's a weakness, we can improve it. That's all we do.
But has there ever been also, I mean, a follow-up question is like, has there been a lot of cases where maybe the parents aren't aware? So for example, what age were you diagnosed with autism? You said 19?
Like, no, as in, that was my last diagnosis, but like, I saw a lot of clinical psychologists, a lot of them just couldn't figure me out, sort of thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Or they just thought that, you know, because I was obese and couldn't control my eating, that it related to everything else, sort of thing.
Mm.
And then, you know, like, but then obviously because I had like a smooth British accent, I would always like answer them in free words. They would just thought like, oh, wow, like, smart, he's responsive, sort of thing.
Mm.
Like, because like, I was very polite, like if in school, or if any psychologist like asked me something, I'll just be like, yes, please, no, thank you. It was like my only words. And like, those are my only words. And it just got me through like so much, like, I wanted to learn to be a boy, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But obviously, the second that it was anything to do with anything beyond sort of the meet and greet, then that was it. Mm-hmm. And, like, yeah, they could obviously see I had an issue.
Yeah.
But yeah, the last diagnosis I got was at 19. Yeah. Had loads of doctors and psychologists my whole life. Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And that's the benefit of, as well, of like me being in the field now, is because, you know, you're, when you grow up in Dubai, you basically see the best of everywhere. Like, you have the best of Germany there. You have the best of the East
there.
That's
so true.
They're all in one little healthcare playground. They're all, like, just, they're all within a 20-kilometer drive of each other. So it's like, I managed to see everyone. I managed to see the whole system.
Yeah.
The best are all in Dubai. They're all in one place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, that's actually such a good point. Yeah.
As in, like, people say, okay, oh, you've only been doing this for 7 years. I'm like, no, I've seen this stuff for 25 years.
Yeah, if it's something that you were dealing with personally, then of course you learn through experiences, and you learn through all of those interactions with, like you said, like multiple psychologists and multiple, you know, people who are trying to assess you and understand what's going on. So of course you learn from those experiences, and you learn like what was best and what was not so good. Yeah. And, you know, you can take all those
experiences. Shed everything that doesn't work and just compile everything that works, and that's it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how the world should be. Just constantly improving systems.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Another question I wanted to touch upon is, a lot of people, you know, obviously not talking about children, but, you know, a lot of adults and young adults take, you know, anti-anxiety medication or antidepressants, ADHD medication. Does that interfere with their brain training abilities?
As in, it interferes, but it depends on what they want to accomplish, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it can enhance them for a while, but my experience in the system was basically, and this is not an attack on Big Pharma, like, I love what you guys do, there is a place for you guys, but this is not an attack on Big Pharma, but my experience was basically, I was on a combination of medication up until about age 20.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened is, like, you know, after I first took the medication, like, taking the medication is what actually made me realize that, oh my God, there is a world out there whereby I can focus. That is a reality that exists, sort of thing.
Right, yeah.
Like, I remember the first time I took medication, it was like, I had to tell my parents, you know, shush, shush, because, like, I could actually hear what they were saying, whereas before I couldn't. It's like I wasn't even in the room.
Yeah.
So medication helped me realize that things are possible. But then my experience with medication is, what happened is, I was visiting London one summer, and I was staying at my cousin's house, and I was meant to be helping him in his warehouse. He's in the sports industry, so he has like a warehouse, and I was meant to be helping him. Simple job, you know, like moving boxes. But I woke up at his house, forgot my pills. And then I woke up, because I forgot my pills, like, I could not function. Like, I was a sock. Like, I could hardly move. And then I just felt like, how could I live my life knowing I'm only as good as the pills I was taking in the morning?
Sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. And then that's when, I came back to Dubai. I basically told my doctor that, that was my choice. And obviously, you know, the doctor made me sign a disclaimer that he's not responsible for my demise after quitting the medication, all that stuff. So I went through it only because I wanted that for myself. If someone else wants medication, then they should go for medication. But what I thought was, in my view, is that I would rather enhance myself naturally, and that's what I would do.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
I would say, in general, freedom, independence is a massive value for me, and I hate having to rely on anything. So I didn't want to have to rely on anything outside of me. I'd rather just function naturally.
That's why, makes sense.
I went down brain training sort of route.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then, but I would say, if medication is for you, then it's for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, cool. Because, you know, I feel like that's definitely not touched upon nearly enough as it should be. Especially, you know, in Dubai. I think now we're getting better, but things surrounding mental health and all of these external medications that people take, it's not really discussed as much. So I was just wondering, because it's not discussed, maybe these questions don't get asked that much. And so I was just wondering, like, how much interference is there with these medications and then trying to improve your cognitive ability? But as you said, you know, if the medication is being used as a tool and it depends on the individual's, you know, motivations, then obviously it can be a positive, or, you know, it depends on, you know, like their values, like you said. So, yeah.
Or, yeah, exactly. Or do what I did. Try 50,000 things, see what works.
Yeah, yeah.
Decide for yourself. It's like, unfortunately, yeah, that was the way it happened for me.
Yeah, yeah. But I think that's the way it happens for a lot of people in a lot of different things. You know, you try a bunch of different things and then you end up stumbling across the thing that works for you. And that's how you learn, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And you have to sometimes go through that experience, because otherwise, you know, you wouldn't have known. Like, if you're, let's just say you never tried anything else, but you came straight to brain training, how would you know what you missed out on, sort of thing?
That's so true. Yeah, exactly. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, as in, like, you'd always be like, oh, what if that was the one for me? Mm-hmm. What if, like, now I'm operating at 50% of my potential, sort of thing?
Yeah, so true, so true. Well, we're coming to the end of the podcast, so there's just a couple more questions left. I want to know what your message is for those who feel like very, very lost with their own learning disabilities, and they feel as though society just does not cater to them. What is your message to them?
Yeah, if you are diagnosed with a mental disability or a learning impairment, then you're actually super gifted. It just means that you see the world in a different way. But my message would just be, basically, you have to adopt the sort of warrior archetype, because, you know, like, the amount, like, everything that normal people take for granted, they basically struggle with, like, just basic things, like, you know, going to face a day at school or college is like, you know, like, more than it's like it's like military or Olympic training sort of thing.
So
yeah, it's just like, yeah, you have to be a warrior. And Dubai puts it so well, like, they call us determined ones, because it's true. Like, it's just, yeah, so stay determined sort of thing. And also, the game is not designed for you, but just look at it as a game, because that's all it is. If everyone else, you know, if it takes someone, you know, if they read something and they can pass an exam first time, it takes you 50 times, that's, just look at it as a game, and then try and improve yourself on the game. Like, make the intention of, okay, I'm going to read this with full intention, and then afterwards, you know, build up on it until eventually, you know, like, so yeah, it's just stay determined, just be a warrior, my friends, like, seriously, you know. And also, yeah, there's more than enough stuff out there which works nowadays. So, as in, we can always, like, put you on a journey which is, you know, right for you, basically, long term. Yeah, there needs to be more sort of modern alternative routes of education as well, to fit their strengths as well.
Yeah, completely. Completely. I like that. Yeah, it's a great message. Cool. So, how many locations does Brain Abilities have? Just to give our listeners a bit of an idea, maybe they have one near them. I know everything is online now, but eventually, where are you based?
So yeah, we're in Northwest London and in Harrow and Baker Street. So we have three locations in the UK. And there are other BrainRx locations in Dubai as well.
Yeah. Amazing, amazing. And what's in store for the future of Brain Abilities?
Brain Abilities will always be a brain center which serves your community, basically. We're always, like, at your service. Like, we're basically the one-stop shop for all of your mental needs. And we want to carry on, you know, providing the latest findings in neuroscience to the community, and keeping everyone informed. Also, you know, doing a lot of social work. So it's just basically a nice, friendly center which serves your community. But what's in the future for me is I want to get more into the education side of things, because I want to design curriculums for our determined ones, basically.
We need that so desperately. I think that would be amazing, and I can't wait to see what you come up with. And I would love to interview again once you do come up with that, because more people need to hear this and more people need to understand that it's not a one size fits all. And that's, it's never going to be like that. We're also individual in our needs. And I think that brain training centers like yours and the work that you're doing is so important. So I'm very happy to have had you on today. And my last question, which is one that I ask every single guest that I have on the show, and that is, what is your favorite quote ever?
Favorite quote ever? Okay, I have so many because, you know.
I know, everyone has so many.
But I'll give you a brain training quote. It basically says, if you find something difficult, it just means you haven't done it enough, basically.
I like.
If it feels uncomfortable, you haven't done it enough.
Mm-hmm.
No, I love like quotes by Rumi as well.
Yeah,
and it
me
goes
too.
Something like, you know, your job is not to seek love. Your job is to destroy all the barriers inside you, which you created against it.
Mm.
Also, and oh my God, I could go on a roll here. Another favorite one is.
No, give me your last one. Three is a good. It's a good number to end on. So give me the last one.
All right. Another one that goes, I think it's by a poet called Hafiz. It goes, even to this day, the sun says to the earth, you don't owe me anything. And a love like that lights up the entire sky. So guys, thank you so much for your love and for listening in.
Oh, what a nice way to end the podcast, Shami. That was so good. Yeah, that's amazing. Thank you so much for being on. And where can our listeners find you on social media or your website? Let them know.
Yeah, on Facebook, we are at Abilities with a Z. We're Abilities with a Z because we deal with the A to Z of abilities. On Instagram, I'm the.brain.coach. On Facebook, I'm just at The Brain Coach.
Amazing. Okay, I'm going to be linking the website as well in the show notes. And a lot of press articles on Shami and Brain Abilities. So make sure you check those out if you're more interested and get in touch with him directly. I'm sure there'll be contact details on the website. So definitely make use of this amazing brain training center. And I'm so, so happy that you came on today. And I'm excited to interview you again in the future when you have that curriculum up and ready. Thank you so much, Shami.
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much. Great to catch up.
Thank you so much for listening to the 10th episode of the Show Me Your Way podcast. This episode is actually going to be concluding the first season of the Show Me Your Way podcast. Now, if you're thinking, Sabrine, I didn't realize there were seasons, that's because I literally just decided that going forwards, I would like to create seasons for this podcast that have particular themes. I would also like to start incorporating some more video content on both Instagram and YouTube. And wherever else you can get videos. So going forwards, I'm going to be taking a small hiatus to reflect on all of the episodes that we've done so far and get some really great guests on and incorporate more video. Now, I really appreciate everyone who's been listening, and please don't forget to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. You can listen to us on Anchor, Apple, Spotify. Please make sure you're subscribing to the podcast at least so that you never miss an update of a new episode. So I'm really excited to come back from the hiatus with all new guests, video content, and just all great things. Thank you again for listening, and make sure you check out Shami's socials as well as Brain Abilities. You know, download those brain training apps and get to know, you know, your strengths and your weaknesses. Just because you may not be in university anymore in informal education doesn't mean that we can't always self-reflect and develop on our abilities to learn and retain information. These are really important skills that we can take forward throughout all of our lives, in our careers and in our personal lives. So definitely take advantage of that and reach out to Shami directly. He's doing online sessions right now, so definitely take advantage of that and get some brain training on. Thank you again for listening.